This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, September 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. The numbers to call today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Island, the number is 242-357-20. If you decide to text, the text line is 422-4796. I want to remind you that this show is sponsored by islandgames.com. We're excited to have them on board. Today is going to be an open line Wednesday. That means you can call in and speak about things that is happening inside the news, things that's happening in social media, well, something is on your mind. I'll be happy to entertain that conversation. But as usual, I always have one or two things that I wish to talk about. And recently, upon the opening of school, I came across a letter. It was an open letter from a teacher. And this letter is going to be partial the theme of today's show, right? I'm going to talk about a little bit of immigration here and there. But I'm going to read that letter. The letter is captioned, "Frustrated Teacher." "I am a teacher at a government school, and for privacy reasons, I will not disclose the name of the school. Today, August 31st, marked the first day of the new school year, and I left my classroom feeling extremely overwhelmed and concerned about a serious issue that I believe requires immediate action. This school year, I have 22 students in my classroom, yet only 5 are able to communicate effectively in English. As a teacher, I found myself struggling with something as basic as greeting my students and introducing myself because of the significant language barrier. I was honestly brought to the verge of tears because I began questioning how I am expected to effectively teach a classroom when the majority of my students cannot understand the language in which I am teaching, while I am also unable to fully understand their communication. This is not about discriminating against students who come from different backgrounds or speak different languages. Every child deserves access to quality education. However, there must also be adequate systems and resources in place to support students who enter our public education system without sufficient English language proficiency. Teachers should not be placed in a position where they are expected to teach an entire curriculum without the necessary language support resources. At the same time, we cannot neglect the students who are already proficient in English or prevent them from progressing academically while attempting to bridge a significant language gap. I strongly believe the Ministry of Education and the relevant authorities need to address this matter urgently. If non-English speaking children are going to be educated within our public school system, there needs to be a structured English language support program to assist these teachers with the resources and training necessary to meet their educational needs. I also understand that this is not an isolated situation. Many teachers across the schools, our schools, are experiencing similar challenges. And she says, see screenshot, and she provides a screenshot. Say, see screenshot below. And this has the potential to significantly impact both teaching and learning if not addressed. Our teachers need support. Our students need support. and our education needs a practical solution. This is not something that should be left for an individual teacher to figure out on their own. We need clear policies, appropriate resources, and immediate intervention so that every child has an opportunity to learn and every teacher has a fair opportunity to teach. I sincerely hope that this matter receives the attention it deserves and that meaningful solutions are put in place as soon as possible. I wanted to read that. I wanted to read that because I want to have a discussion with that and like have that juxtaposed to another discussion. Now, we have a law. We in the Bahamas have signed treaties, international regulations, the right of the child, that every child in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, be Bahamian, immigrant, or children of expats and workers, there is mandatory that they attend school. We've signed on to that. Usually, and if I need to be corrected, kindly call in and correct my information. Usually, expats and those who have work permits to live in the Bahamas, their children usually supposed to attend private institutions, private school. The parent pays for their child to be educated. However, we have another segment of our society who are immigrants or children of immigrants who are poor. They cannot pay for their child's education. So they are able, and our government and the people of the Bahamas graciously allow them to attend school free of charge. Gratis. And that is a good thing. I believe everyone needs to be educated. I know that we have some financially challenged people in the Bahamas. And if we can educate them, so be it. But I am moving to the position that if you and your child do not have status in the Bahamas, in order to sustain the integrity of the educational system, you should pay for your child a fee. I'm not saying that this fee must be exorbitant. I understand the financial constraints many people have. And a simple fee of every year registration as you are a non-permanent resident, non-Bahamian citizen, you must pay for your child to go into a public school system. And this fee, I assume, can subsidize teachers who need extra attention and facilities to make sure that their child receives adequate education. I know a number of civil rights groups, my word there, or advocate groups for people in challenging situation, people in transition, are here in the Bahamas. I believe those groups need to come forward and assist if these indigent people cannot afford to pay the fee, whatever the fee is the government concludes at. I believe there needs to be more advocacy groups in what's the right word? Fragile communities, that they must come forward and do more to protect their communities. I see a number of callers are on the line. I'm going to engage them as I continue to have a discussion that something needs to change moving forward in order to protect the integrity of our educational system, because I think that the money is insufficient, and hence the reason why we're having so many outrage concerns by teachers and the unions. But let's go to the phone calls. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, the CNRA. Caller, are you there? Clear the line there. Let's move on to the next one. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, CA.
Good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good, sir. Yeah, I watched that segment of our news in respect to the language barrier. I listened attentively. CA, we have a problem in the Bahamas. A big problem. You know, while the government of the Bahamas. We never signed on to what these people are agreeing that we sign on to in the terms of their interpretation of the treaty to provide education. We're supposed to, the government of the Bahamas is supposed to make education accessible. Accessible. That doesn't mean if you have no status or you can't speak English, that means you go into public school, you flood the public school system and create a problem. Well, people whose primary language is English, or even immigrants who perhaps can speak English, you know, is disenfranchised and disadvantaged because a high percentage of the class or the students cannot speak English. Oh, you really believe, C.A. Newry, this is what we sign on to, and this is the interpretation, this is how it's supposed to work?
Then I'll challenge you with this. If the child is 5 years old and entering primary school, and in 13 years, I will be more likely a Bohemian in waiting. More likely they will be granted citizenship unless they have some kind of social problem or whatever it is. But more than likely, since they're in the Bahamas.
Yeah, but...
Hold on. Clever.
Hold on, Clever. Yeah?
There's always proper identification.
Well, where is it?
And I can tell you the proper...
Where did you find it?
Hold on, Clever. Let's go back and forth. If the child is born in Princess Margaret Hospital...
Yeah.
There's a record that the child is born here. They will say that the child was born in the Bahamas, and they will say the identity of the parent, to say if they are Haitian, they say Haitian. If they're Jamaican, they say Jamaican. And the child takes the citizenship of the mother.
Right.
We know that. More than likely, like I'm going to say this again, because that's where you interject. More than likely, if they remain in the Bahamas until they're 18 years old, they have a right to apply for citizenship and to become a Bahamian citizen, and more likely it'll be granted unto them unless they are some force or deemed some kind of threat to the national security of the Bahamas. And that's a limited or extreme circumstances, but because the majority of us are not criminals in this country. Now the issue here, do you want to have a group of people turning 18 with no education, no skills, no social skills, no soft skills, and no basic education, to who are transitioning to be Bahamian, or you want them to be educated? We need everyone who's in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, who the immigration officers are not able to detain and repatriate it, to be educated. We want them to be educated. We want them to receive health care. We want them to live at the bare minimum standards that we call as a minimum standard. We don't want them fall below that. So that is not the conversation. The conversation today is whether they should pay and how much is it that they should pay, because we can educate them no matter what, because we need an educated workforce.
Well, CA, I'll put it to you like this. Had you been running for public office, I would have said, like what they said, the King of Gripperdow almost persuaded me, but that is not the case. If you're a child living in the Bahamas, born to immigrant parents, I don't care what no one tell me, you will have a grasp of the English language. You will never be able to go into the classroom and cannot speak one bit of English. That don't happen, except the child was born somewhere else and they were brought into the Bahamas. That sort of thing works, and that's the problem. If you're living in the Bahamas for an ordinate period of time, let's say 6 years, 7 years, you will learn English. So don't tell me that this language barrier has been created by persons who were born in the Bahamas for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years and cannot speak English. That is not the case. We know that children are being used, and many of them are not even the guardian. They're a guardian. They're not made. We don't use DNA, like developed countries do, to establish the paternity of the child. We don't do that no more. We allow our JP to sign a piece of paper, and then this is how our classroom space, bedroom space at PMH, is overcrowded and overrun because we're not following best practices to protect the integrity of the institutions that taxpaying Bahamians have to access. We don't do that. We just rely on a piece of paper. But
children who are in these public schools who cannot speak English. 9 out of 10 times, or maybe 10 out of 10 times, they were not born in the Bahamas. We know this. So don't let no one deceive you and try to paint this picture that does not exist. You see what I'm saying? Now, what are we going to do when these immigrants bring in their nieces, their nephew, their neighbor's child, or whatever? The Jamaicans do it too. And they flood our school system and create this problem that you're having now, where we now trying to have to decide what we're going to do. And then another thing, check the work permit of these persons who are purporting to be the guardian or the parents of these children. 9 out of 10 times they are on these work permits or these things that we call that is allocated for unskilled workers. That is creating the problem. These people are not skilled. They are providing an essential service and need to be in the Bahamas. That is not the case. We know what is going on in immigration. And its time has come and gone where we supposed to stop or cease and desist from giving out work permits for our unskilled work permits.
Okay.
We don't do that. I mean, why are we doing this? We know why we're doing this. But the problem is now, who is going to stand up to the plate and correct this? Because Bahamians and students who speak English are being prohibited and being denied. And no agreement, no treaty that we sign on to was designed to create this type of problem here in the Bahamas. It's not mandatory that they go to government school. Now, some schools are taking steps now to correct this. Some schools are doing it. I know an immigrant where the child was born in Haiti. They were attending a private school. Now they want to get into the public school. The school is saying no. So don't tell me it isn't working. It all depends on what we want to do as a Bahamian society. But this nonsense has to stop, and one day, CA, it will stop. That's all I'll say on that one.
I appreciate you, Clever. Thanks very much. I see we have a number of callers online. Let me read this text. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. This language barrier has been a problem. This language barrier has been a problem in the classrooms for decades. The Bahamas is literally cutting off its nose to spite its face. Nobody is against education for children, no matter their immigration status. How hard is it for the Ministry of Education to implement or to adapt an English program such as TOEFL, T-O-E-F-L, program, tests of English as a foreign language, make it mandatory for students to go through this program before they enter the mainstream school system? As a matter of fact, they need to start immediately, like today. Bahamian students will continue to suffer. Then we act surprised when they can't pass the math exam. I know the Catholic system has a Creole to English program, right? I've seen them what is that road? The road right up here. Boyd Road, off Boyd Road there. I've also seen one off of East Street there, where immigrant children orientated before they go into the main school system. I'm not sure if that is mandatory for all immigrant children to attend that school and then transition to the public school, but that is something if someone knows any information about, they can call in or text in and give us more information about. But I know there's a Catholic school system that educates primarily persons of Haitian descent who transition to the Bahamas, who have issues speaking the language, but they are taught English before they transition to the public school system. But it seems as if too many students are bypassing that and going straight to the public school system for the first 4, 5, 6 months of the child's education in the primary school and even into the junior school. The child cannot speak English, so the teacher's having some challenges. And now the government mentioned once upon a time something called a buddy system, where the teacher teaches for this example, a Haitian student who speaks English, and the student then reteaches his neighbor next to him and translates whatever was taught in English into Creole. And I'm not sure if that is benefiting both children, right? But let's go to the callers again. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. This is CNRA. Caller, you there? Go ahead, caller. Next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead, caller. I can hear you, caller. Oh, we might have hanged them up by mistake. Go ahead. Okay, all the lines are cleared. You can call back. I'm sorry, but I disconnected you. Okay, the people are calling back now. See if you can get that, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can hear me, Nuri?
I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, good thing. So we were talking of said about well, you said it correct. For too long now, we have compromised ourselves. We have sent people to write these laws or to sign these treaties who do not understand what they are signing, and it has created a problem. The worms are out of the can, and it's very difficult to put back. Now, we can educate the students, and if they are special needs students, what we need to do is channel them towards special needs schools. But we should not compromise. We are an English-speaking country, are we? Are we?
Oh, I thought it was a rhetorical question. Yeah, man, we speak English.
We are an English-speaking country.
But a third of our population speaks Creole.
That yes, but all of the little children, like Cleaver says, that's around me, hundreds of them that are born and grow in the Bahamas, they speak English. Mm. They speak English better than me. So the ones, the handful that are compromised, we need to channel them into schools with teachers that can speak English and Creole. We can accomplish it. You see? But greed and corruption has gotten us in this mess. Thanks for taking Grammy Boy call.
And I should have had Grammy Boy stay on longer to question him whether he would embrace a school where we look and seek out Haitian Bahamians to be teachers, or we give scholarships to teachers who learn Creole as a second language, and then we filter Haitian Bahamian or students who are of Haitian origin to that particular school, having a separate but equal education opportunities. Will he be willing to entertain a society like that? Let's read this text. And this text says, Happy Wednesday, CA Inuri. How many times in the last 10 to 13 years must C. Allen Johnson call the radio? C. Allen Johnson didn't call me, though. Okay, let me read it again. Happy Wednesday, CA Inuri. How many times in the last 10 to 13 years must C. Allen Johnson call the radio and tell everyone, according to UN charters and treaties, the education must be accessible? But it doesn't say the education must be free. How many times must C. Allen say available, accessible education, not free education? And I'll say, Texter, only what the government say counts. I appreciate whatever C. Allen says, but only what the government has concluded count. So C. Allen can say anything. But if the politicians say something different, it becomes naught. So I hope that helps you in terms of how important is or how relevant is Mr. Johnson's commentary. This text says, LOLCA, Clever Duncan soon call you. Mark my words, and then we know Clever already called. It says, and there is a system breakdown. Why is an immigrant child in the Bahamas for 18 years? That work permit should have expired and child back in their home country. And it is what it is, Texter. We know that they're here for 18 years, and that's how they become a citizen. That's an entirely different issue. Let's go back to the callers again. Guardian Radio AM, go ahead, caller. You're live. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead, caller.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. What I'd like to say is that how do we address the situation? Should we have some sort of system set up where the government would actually get information from this particular agency as to how to deal with the situation before people go off and sign these treaties? Or should we then, the community, then speak out against it and request that perhaps there should be a school where you have English Creole teachers, where these students go in until they reach a certain age where they could really sit in classes and not keep back the other students, and they could merge from there. I think the situation could be addressed because actually we have our people who go to other countries, they may not be a different language all the time, but they have to fit in too. And so that's how the world is, you know. But we need to address the situation from a better angle.
I appreciate you calling. Before you go, yeah. I know the Catholic school system has something, or the Catholic Church has something. The issue here is whether our government needs to institute something also to be a buffer before they go to the mainstream school. But should our taxpayers' money pay money to have a special teacher, a special program for immigrant children? We have a duty of care.
You.
1 minute. We have a duty of care for Bahamians, not a duty of care for immigrants. So if these immigrants are to get a special treats, incentives, they need to pay for that themselves. And that is the question or issue here. Who should pay for that buffer program?
Now, let me say this. How much contribution do you think the Haitian community puts into our system?
A third of our population is of Haitian extract. Some people are even suggested it might even grow up to 50%. If you just use the math of a third, that means a third of our economy is fueled. The third of our economy is fueled by Haitian labor and Haitian support.
Right. So in that case, then there should be some provisions made for them because they are making a valuable contribution to our community.
But then what about the 66% who are saying that they're being disenfranchised and they want more and they deserve more and they're not getting it?
But they would only be disenfranchised if you have the students being in classes with them, but they keep them back.
But disenfranchised meaning the monies should have been used, because we talk about money now, should be used for the whole, not for a special group.
Yeah, but they're making contributions to our society. Let's be real about that.
And whatever they gain from our society, they need to put back in by investing
in
their children.
Most of them integrate into our society after they become a certain age. They work and the process continues on.
Yes.
Am I right?
I acknowledge that, yes.
Right, so then they should have a fair chance for development as well.
And
the only thing is I have a problem with those people who are different. And if it happens that way, we have a system that deals with that. Because like you said earlier, if people are criminals, they would be sent out. And we have a right to reject or deny their request for citizenship after they reach the age of 18.
And I appreciate that you bringing that point, and I want to talk about it, and thank you very much for your call. I just got a text from someone now who is basically paralleling my train of thought. It says, the Haitian churches have their own school, and they don't have the vetting of the education or business license place. We need real feedback from our people, if not start shipping out. I heard about Haitian churches having programs also. I'm not sure if it's an educational school, and I believe that the Haitian churches make money. They need to support their community more.
Exactly.
And I just don't see the money flowing from them to the wider public to say, well, we are in support of our people and that whatever they need to facilitate them to be mainstream, we will cover.
So, Mr. Neary, I got one more question to ask you.
Go ahead.
What do you think about the situation about our education distraction that's happening now? Who do you really blame for that? Or you think there's a shared responsibility between the administrators, the teachers, and the ministry? What do you think about that?
I'll go with the latter. There's a shared responsibility. I see that the Minister of Education is now meeting with the administrators to find out what their concerns are. And I assume that he will now address it. My issue is this should have been done before school opened. Clearly, there are issues.
I would like to place the blame squarely at the feet of the government because they keep on saying that this is an issue that has existed for a long time. If you know that you've been in for 5 years, you have an extension for another 5 years, and you're in that, you should have been in a position to deal with this situation by now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much, Scholar. This text says, good day, CA, and I sure know one politician, Leslie Miller, would give you a true picture of our educational system because his wife, had a first-hand experience while teaching throughout this Bahamas. Oh, okay. This text says, good morning. We don't have space for our own special needs children. A Bahamian mother aired recently the frustration she was enduring to find space for her Bahamian child. Deal with your Bahamian children first. I understand and appreciate you, Texter. Good morning. Nassau has been and is Little Haiti. Why are we still talking about these language barriers and concern about Haitian majority in the hospital and some cases to school? Next text says, the buddy system is garbage juice. I didn't send my child to teach a language. I sent them there to learn. That's just holding back my child from learning their lesson. Let's go back to the callers there, and I'll segue into my other point for the day. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Let's see. Thank you very much, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hello.
Hello, you're live. Go ahead, ma'am. Turn on your radio. You're live.
I think based on the situation you're talking about with as it pertains to the language barrier, I think there is a language barrier. People don't even, I mean, not really a language barrier, but there is an educational issue that the government needs to deal with before the child even reaches school, and that's educating the parents as to what the child needs to know, because the parent is the child's first teacher, what the child needs to know before they even get to school. So some children, you may not have a language barrier per se. You can speak English very well. You don't know how to spell your name. You don't know your name. You don't know the letters of the alphabet. You don't know the numbers. So if that was kind of prerequisite, for, hey, listen here, these are the things that we encourage you to make sure your children know. Although there are children that might have a language barrier, if parents would start to zone in on addressing those things and dealing with those things, then maybe it wouldn't be so stressful for the teacher. The other thing is, I think we need to start looking at, I will say it, Haitians differently, because there are so many Haitians that do not have a financial problem. So why are we giving this problem to the government? They're Haitian parents who would love, absolutely positively love, to find somebody who can tutor their child, who can work with their child academically, and they will pay for it. They are working in the Bahamas. They're making a salary. They have no problem with paying for it themselves. The problem is they can't identify these persons. So if the government can have an afternoon, an after-school facility or something like that, or, you know, identify teachers who are interested, or even in their community, because there are Haitian, these persons of Haitian descent, or persons who would have been born here who knows the language very well, that are educators now. So they can, you know, if you can identify those persons who are willing to tutor or willing to assist, I think you need to start there first before we start deciding or thinking that this has to be a government problem. And it's starting to sound like the breakfast program, like, hey, give our children breakfast, when actually they're not asking for that. They want the help. Has anybody asked them what type of help they need or what would make a difference? We're just making decisions for them, and are we taking on a responsibility that they're not even asking us to take on? I have a concern. That definitely is my concern. And then where the situation is in terms of the strike yesterday, I agreed with one of the callers says this should have been dealt with previously. The government has changed for 3 months now. Mr. Cooper is new to education, but somebody should have been responsible. I don't know who that person is to bring him current with issues. These persons strike last school year, before school opened. The administrators did. So why are we back to this again? Why over the period of the summer and coming into, and the government went into the election wanting to win. So which means you had to have had or considered a resolve for this problem. I know he said he gave them 14 days. Why you need to give them 14 days? The government knew, the prime minister knew, the former minister of education knew that they had this problem. I'm not saying that they should get what they want. The government has the ability to give them exactly what they want, but it should have been dealt with, not saying to them, we will give you 14 days. But having been able to say, we would have had a conversation, and this is what we're looking at. And I think the resolve now, especially if they're short of administrators, they need to look outside to bring in some leaders from outside to lead the schools, because they don't have it inside the schools. They're short of staff already. So this is, they can't pull it from nowhere else. So that's my two cents.
Thank you very much. I always enjoy your call.
Okay, bye.
Tonight at 12, at least maybe tomorrow morning, 12 a.m. tonight, is day three of the unions, BUT union request to have the government come to the table and negotiate with them. On Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, if the government has not responded by early tomorrow morning, they will start their industrial action, separate and apart from this administrative action. So tonight, if there's no agreement between the government and the BUT, expect tomorrow morning there'll be no school. We're going to take a quick commercial break right now. I see you callers on the line. We'll be right back.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton-Kahn, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton-Kahn, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton-Kahn, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton-Kahn, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game, so put 20 on your account and ride this Percy's Island Game.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Are you ready? The Chick Chawnee Challenge returns Saturday, September 26th to Clifton Heritage Park for Bush Party 2026. Take on an action-packed obstacle course to one of Nassau's most rugged and beautiful landscapes. Run solo or bring your crew. Gun time is 6:30 a.m. Register now at chickchawneechallenge.com. The Chick Chawnee Challenge is proudly sponsored by Advantage Insurance, RF Bank and Trust, Helena, Guardian Radio 96.9, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, and Click. Bush Party 2026. Get dirty, get challenged, get there.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Attention, Island Game players. Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
I want to remind everyone that this show is sponsored by Percy's Island Game. About 3 weeks ago, Jay DeBellis, who claims that he was born in the Bahamas 26 years ago. He said that he immigrated to the United States when he was 6 years old, based on the temporary status thing that the United States had for Haitian migrants who were impacted by the earthquake. Since then, he's been deported back to Haiti. And he said that he was wrongfully deported to Haiti. Of course, the activists, the Haitian-American activists, are complaining that why don't the Bahamian government defend his rights to be deported back to the Bahamas? And as you know, as all Bahamians know, one does not automatically become Bahamian when you born, when you just born here. One becomes a Bahamian through lineage and through citizenship. This gentleman is advocating that he be considered to become Bahamian, even though he did not apply for citizenship at his 18, and that date has since expired now that he's 26 years old. But there's a number of talk with Haitian American activists who are claiming that he deserves rights in the Bahamas. I wanted to also bring that into discussion, and I will continue to have that discussion throughout the week. Let's go to the callers here. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Call, you there?
Hello.
You're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Nui, this is a very concerning issue, given the number and the population of Haiti, right? But the gentleman's situation is kind of unique. He didn't apply, and so that's a conundrum. But, you know, we can't continue to allow the Bahamas to be the fall guy for their mistakes that they made. If he entered the Americas illegally, and then now the Bahamas becomes a fall guy, so if he was never deported, he wouldn't have cried wolf and cry he was born in the Bahamas. But we have situations far worse than that. I have a friend who was born in Freeport, I guess, documented by Justice of the Peace. And so we have a number of them doing that. And so then he was deported from the States. He went to Haiti. And so he subsequently came here. But he had a child with a Haitian lady. And so he applied for the child to come, and she's now here. And she speaks English very well. When she first came, she was like kind of pecking here and there, but she speaks English. She even calls me uncle, right? But what I'm saying is, we as Bahamians are being shooting ourselves in the foot. And you said something very disturbing for me. You know, using my brethren, but when you said that what the government says goes, right? But when we think that as citizens, that makes us very pathetic, given the fact that power to the people is no longer being uttered amongst people to make us realize that we are. But it shouldn't be that way, with what the government say goes, because they should have addressed these issues. I'm concerned about the parallel society. Of course, I have this concern about the Haitian churches. They could be doing that activity that you said, and not giving revenues to the government, et cetera, et cetera. The government is being very lenient with these people as it relates to squatting on the shantytown land and enforcing the laws as it relates to all the variables as it relates to migration. We can't get into all of the details, but it's very upsetting. And I'd like to say, I thank the teacher for sending that letter. I thank you for reading it also. But we need more teachers like that to actually voice the problem. And I think she said 5 out of the 22 are Bahamians. So if that don't frighten you, are you a Bahamian? Are you concerned about us? Is there anybody? I'm a parent. What I'm saying is, we can't love people more than we love ourselves. And I totally agree with you that they should be paying. Because, and Cleaver Duncan made a very simple juxtaposition. You know, if a child has reached that age and reaching the school, and they're not speaking English, it's obviously that they weren't born here. And so even if they was born here, that highlights what I'm saying in the parallel society. Because, you know, the private preschool that I send my son to, I see some Asians have their children there also. So we must stop painting this picture like they can't afford this and that. But the government must facilitate. This is what I highlighted with Dwight this morning. But when I said we're Asian, Dwight automatically busted up. So the media is a part of the problem because they're not acknowledging the problem. The government is not acknowledging the problem. So we are shooting ourselves in the foot and just hoping someone will go away and solve it. But the issue can be solved. But we don't need another parallel society. They have translators. They have the translator apps, et cetera, et cetera. But we can't let it sit by and let it overwhelm us. And then the government, for decades, have been underfunding the public schools as it relates to logistics, supply, and just everything. And so you're filling up the public schools and the country with migrants from here and there, but you're not addressing the problem. So juxtaposing to what you said, what the government says goes, then we will continue to be a political dystopian society. That's the way I see it. It's dictatorial. We can't allow this to go on, man. You know, this country is in a mess, and people still up in parliament beating on the desk, and they're not solving any problem. Lang said something very important as it relates to teachers, as the level of education. I think it was relates to professionals involved in the industry and upgrading and really dealing with the problem. And I think he had questioned what Chester Cooper, in response to his statement, what is he putting forward? Aaron also, what is he's making a speech, but what is he actually doing to
to enforce what he's saying. And so, you know, we're seeing the education system deteriorate, but you're still going to allow it to be impeded by unabated migration and when people we call it speak out. It's really ridiculous, man. You don't want to speak. I mean, this, you all need to get this together, man. Get that young.
Thanks. There are a number of prominent Haitian Bahamians and Haitians living inside the Bahamas who have the wherewithal to assist their community. How can we challenge and demand of them that they do more for their community? Is there any social advocate groups of prominent means or from the Haitian extract who are promoting, assisting those Haitian in need here to assist them in education, to assist them in welfare? Does any of those groups exist? And how come we don't know about them? I'm coming to you right now, this text says, CA, we already have numerous so-called Haitian Bahamians or quote-unquote Bahamians of Haitian descent that are already teaching in many of our public schools. But I dare say some of them, but not all of them, they may want you to pay them extra to translate, teach at the same time. You know a lot of folks around here, just lovey-dovey, extra money, sweet money. Okay, let's go to the callers now. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live. Caller, you there? Come on, let's move on to the next one there. Go ahead, caller. You there?
CA, good morning.
Good morning.
CA, I'm partially disturbed at what I'm hearing. I'm also kind of, you know, my eyes are wide open to what I am also hearing on the other side. What I mean by that is simply this. The Bahamas is an English-speaking country. And for you to be here in the Bahamas and you can tell me that you've been residing in this country all this time and you can't speak English, that's very problematic. You go into the United States, even with the Cubans in Miami, where they have Little Havana. Those people in there speak both English and Spanish. And you're going to tell me we can sit here as Bahamians and sit here and accept that persons are nationals of this country, naturalized of this country, and they cannot speak English? Like 52 said, we have a parallel society in this country that should not even exist. Either you're Bahamian or you are of the other nationality. But the primary language of this country is English. And everyone should be required to speak English. We should not be forced to speak any other language unless we take it upon ourselves that that's a language that we want to speak because we are traveling people as well. When we go into those other destinations, we want to be able to speak those languages. But to more or less say we are basically being pigeonholed or forced into speaking Haitian Creole, that's nonsense. This is the Bahamas. We are an English-speaking country, and these persons are required to speak English. And I mean, I can't make it no cleaner and simpler than that. And my last point here, you know, we have this misconception that the migrants here are poor people. But I beg to differ. Because whether they're working here or not, you go into any of these Western Unions or any one of these places, you see they send in the monies out of the country. But yet we must foster programs where we must, the Bahamian taxpayer, through the Bahamas representatives in our parliament, must pass things for us to fund them to get to the next level when they could take care of this themselves through the monies that they repatriate to the other countries. That's a pure nonsense. We need to put the onus back on them. For them, they want to live in our society. They must be able to pay their way in this society, just as the rest of us have to pay our way in this society. And that's all I can say on this today. But we must stop patronizing this nonsense and get these persons to pull their way. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, dear. Is it a mandatory or prerequisite for a child to speak English before starting a public school system? Is there a prerequisite? Because it clearly is not, because the teachers are complaining. Also, I personally do not believe that non-citizens should get free education from preschools. The preschool should be for those who have Bahamian citizenship and permanent residence. I even go as far as that to get access to the free education system at the preschool level. Other than that, you should be paying for your child to be educated at the preschool level. And I might be different in regards to the primary school and the high school. But I think the preschool education should be only reserved for Bahamians or Bahamian citizens or people who have status, definitely status, to be in the Bahamas. Let's take these last calls before I go. Kermit, let's speed through these. Dad in Radio AM, you're live.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. You have your 30 seconds. Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. I agree with the caller just now. They have the funds. They have the funds to do all kind of stuff. That's one of the reasons why they live the way they live, because they prefer to build up whatever they have home or give send money home to have more persons come this way. Look at the Filipino community. There's a lot of them here. How much of their kids we see in the government system?
All of them attend private schools.
Exactly, because, see, they come from a poor country also. So what they're doing is they are sending their kids and paying their monies into the private system to have their kids educate, get the best education. But yet, we're looking at the persons from the South, and we're trying to say, oh, they don't have it. They have it. Allow them to pay, but the government have to make it, like you said, a prerequisite. You must be able to speak English. You must be able to speak English, and that would push them who are home with the kids while they are babies to teach them English.
Thank you very much. I can try to squeeze you in. You have 30 seconds. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you have 30 seconds. Hang up your phone and go ahead. One, two, not there. That ends my show today. We're going to continue this conversation. I'm going to have this conversation be dealt with from a risk management perspective regarding the Bahamas. I'm going to invite Ms. Siobhan Johnson, who's a risk management specialist, to come and join this conversation. We're going to put these questions back towards her, and hopefully she's able to give us an outline on how the Bahamas should respond and what we should be responding, and give some suggestions to the government. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuring. You have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.